Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. The Kenya Moore situation is starting to play out on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, and we're really getting a peek into how this is going to go. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we have Emily Hanks from the podcast She's Speaking with Emily Hanks, which is all about pop culture and reality TV and a lot of Bravo. And I wanted to have somebody on who, again, knows their stuff because this Kenya stuff has been so anticipated, and we've been really curious to see how it was going to play out on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. You know, we obviously saw how they were editing her, getting no confessionals. They haven't really said much publicly other than just sort of like releasing the episodes. And we got our first big peek into the Brit and Kenya showdown, if you want to call it that. You know, Kenya had always said like, yeah, I went low and I shouldn't have done that. But she started it when she brought up guns. And inside sources were denying that ever happened, and Brit denied that ever happened. But we saw on the show this week on Sunday night that that did happen. She brought up her whips and pistols that she has within earshot of Kenya as she was yelling at her. So I wanted to have somebody on who, again, knows their stuff so we could really kind of get into it. And so I spent the first half of the episode digging into what we saw on this episode, particularly that those final few moments, talking about sort of what they've all said since then, and just sort of speculating about sort of where this will go, because it's a really confusing thing, especially as it's happening during this like really incredible season of Real Housewives of Atlanta so far. So Emily had some great takes on that. And then the second half of the episode is really mostly about Paige and Craig, because as you all know, on Friday's episode, I talked about Summer House. I talked about part one of the Southern Charm reunion, but I didn't talk about Thursday night's episode of Watch What Happens Live, which had a lot of notable moments with Craig, Austin, and Shep. So we talked a lot about Paige and Craig also in the second half of this episode. And yeah, Emily really knows her stuff. She had some good takes and everything, and I think you'll really enjoy this. I'll keep it short up top here today, but we'll be back on Friday. So keep listening for my chat about the Kenya Moore of it all and the Real Housewives of Atlanta, Paige and Craig is playing out on Summer House and Southern Charm. And check out Emily's podcast, She's Speaking with Emily Hanks. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. We'll see you on Friday. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Emily Hanks, who covers all things Bravo and pop culture on her great podcast, She's Speaking with Emily Hanks. Emily, thanks so much for being here. It's great to meet you. We've never met before. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so honored you're having me here. You're so major.
Oh my God. Likewise. I see you on the charts. I see you on social media all the time. Like you're doing the thing. I love
you're
it.
You're doing the thing. I don't ever check the charts. I'm afraid of the charts because then they like make me spiral.
That's healthy. Right. That's healthy. It's not, I don't even check them out of like, out of competition. It's more like, how are we doing?
You know, yeah, how I mean? Are we doing? Totally. How are we doing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So last night was Atlanta, and I feel like we just have to jump into it because there's been all this anticipation about the Kenya situation. And it's been sort of as great as I feel like the season of Atlanta has been so far, it's been a little bit of a cloud over how great it's been. You know, it's sort of like over here, we're loving it. Portia, Shamia, the newbies.
Totally.
And then over here, it's like, wait a second. We're not getting Kenya confessionals. They're editing her down. She's not going to be on after the next two episodes. How are you feeling going into last night's episode about everything?
Well, it's like you said, there's this cloud. So every single moment so far of the season that there's a Kenya, Brit, anything, I'm like, this is it. This is it. It's coming. This is the thing. I'm interested in how they're showing us this story, like the way they chose to show it. Wasn't a statement released that there was no physical threat? I could have swore there was some sort of like, this was a discovery, right?
Right. So I went back. And so Brit had said on her Instagram story that she never threatened anybody, that she's never possessed any guns. And then there was also a People magazine or People.com article that cited two sources. One source close to production said there was a threat made about something to do with guns. And then another one said, hold on, I think I have the quote actually right here, that at no time was Kenya ever threatened with a weapon, nor was there ever a weapon present during the course of production. So that's a source, which like usually the source is like, you know, somebody very, very close to the situation, especially with
Yes.
People magazine. Do you think it's a matter of like interpretation of how she
Yeah.
brought it up? Because she did, you're right. The way I was so curious how they're going to present this. We had a whole episode and we knew that it was that we knew that next episode is the salon. So the gun thing has to come now if it was going to come ever, right?
Exactly. That's like we were all doing that math.
Right. And we had the full, you know, the end of the episode, the women get together, they have the dinner. And then it sort of lingers on them leaving, which they never really do in this way. You know what I mean? It was like, if you were like, all right, something's coming, it felt
Exactly.
like almost ominous, right?
Exactly. It was so that I'm like, why are they showing us them gathering purses and leaving and
Totally.
taking mics off? So something's gonna happen here, and this is the thing. And so then when Britt was threatening the pistols, I mean, it just seemed like Britt was really coming in looking for an issue with Kenya. I think that was pretty clear. Like it felt like she was
Yeah.
like, it's like she wanted Kenya to bully her or
Right.
something.
Well, it's like, yeah, because it feels like up until now, we've been making kind of mountains out of molehills. It's, you know, she didn't hug her hard enough this past episode.
Pat,
She
she
made that
that
like pretty,
Pat.
right. She made like a pretty unserious comment about her wedding band at the first event at Shimia's house. She called her a peasant at in this episode. And like, listen, it's nothing new for Kenya to pay somebody dust, especially like a, like you know what I mean? Like it's like that's kind of her MO. You kind of have to, I feel like you kind of have to win Kenya over. She's not gonna like you until she likes you, kind of situation, especially like considering how long she's been in the game. I do think some people interpret it sort of the other way around of like
Yes.
Kenya was sort of like not being fair to Brit and not letting her in. But either way, does it merit bringing up the
Is
fact that
that
you
what
own
people are
pistols?
saying? So I haven't
I think most
seen
people are on, I
that.
think most people are on the side of Kenya, but I think that some people,
Okay.
the people who maybe are playing devil's advocate, I would say that's sort of the thread that I've seen a little bit of. It's definitely not the dominant thread. I'd say the dominant thread is hashtag
Right?
team twirl.
'Cause that's what I was wondering. I'm like, is anyone, 'cause like the ring comment, as I analyzed it, I was like, I'm just not getting why this is shade, because it really seemed like she was actually trying to understand
Right, I agree.
the situation. And like Brit clearly has an issue with the marriage and the rings and all that stuff. So I was like, okay, this is like a Brit issue.
Right.
But then at this dinner, the Pat, when she's like, oh, I see what you're doing with the Pat. I'm like, now we're really reaching. And I get Kenya must just trigger Britt, you know, because Kenya can be really passive aggressive. And there's that
Right.
like tone to her, maybe. But it did not warrant, like, they couldn't get one interview soundbite of any of the other women at that dinner to say, totally understand where Britt was
So
coming
true.
from.
So true.
Every
Everyone was like,
single
you're
one
doing too much. Everyone's
was
like,
like,
wait,
what are you
what's the big
doing?
deal? Right. Exactly. It's like, it's also just like in Atlanta, the level of like calling somebody like a peasant because she's the queen, like that's so like low stakes. Like that's what's
It's like
triggering you in this
nothing.
way.
It's like,
Right. It does feel like she came in wanting an issue with Kenya. And it's like, it's just not the move as, and I think sometimes a really established housewife has an issue with a newbie and they can't always articulate why. Sometimes it's like just the vibes, right? Like it almost
totally.
feels like Kenya was like, Brit's doing too much. And also just like, I just kind of don't want to be attached to that. I kind of, she was picking up something from Brit, I think, that maybe some of the other women weren't. And you know what I mean? Like, I feel like she was getting bad vibes from her and she was like, no, you can keep your distance. I'm good. What's good on Kenya's part is like, it's not like she's doing this to all the newbies. Like, her and Kelly had an amazing sit down scene in this episode of her salon and it was
Exactly.
like really touching and emotional. And it was great to see them connect. So it's not like she's giving none of the newbies chances, which I think is
Totally.
really critical probably to sort of Kenya's argument
Kenya's
here.
side, for sure. Yeah. 'Cause
Yeah.
like you can't say that she was just trying to ice the new girls out.
Right, totally. So of course we have not seen what Kenya does. We know, we have heard a million times like what the insiders say, and we'll see it next week. So I'm sort of like I'm still
Yeah.
trying to like reserve a part of my brain that's like reserving judgment until we fully see how it plays out. You know what I mean? But
Exactly.
again, we saw at the end of the episode like Britt mentioned her pistols, and in some ways, were you at all surprised that they kept that in?
Yes. I would have thought for sure that would have been like edited out to because they made the choice to pull Kenya from the season.
Right.
So I would imagine they'd want to prove that they made the right decision by doing that. So would not, I'm like, I guess I'm happy they're not hiding it. But unless Britt comes with like a super major apology and lets Kenya know, I did not mean anything by that. I was heated. I can't even remember saying it. I don't know, something like that. And then Kenya still went forward with the pictures, the poster boards of who knows what. But I just don't understand why only Kenya was let go in this situation.
Right. I think that's where I'm trying to be like, all right, let me wait and see how the Kenya portion of it plays out, because I feel two ways about it. Because on the one hand, it's like, it does sound like whatever Kenya did completely crossed a line, and you can't be allegedly showing pictures of somebody giving somebody oral sex, like to a whole party where they're not even there. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you can't be doing that.
Yeah.
I understand that in sort of a bottle.
Yes. Yes, same.
Suspending her from filming, investigating it. I understand that is crossing a line. And I'm in a lot of ways disappointed in Kenya for letting a newbie like Britt kind of like Kenya sort of went low with her. And Kenya's above that, you know? And I think that she has basically said that in the interviews that she's done since the show of like, I'm disappointed in myself. I regret doing this. It was a bad move. And she's just like way more experienced than to have to do that. And again, like, you know, I think that if you go back to Britt, like saying, you know, I got whips, I got pistols, everything, whatever, even if you're trying to have the best faith reading of that comment of her bringing up her pistols, she is still arguing with somebody and mentioning her guns. Like that is just not, even if you're interpreting it as like, quote unquote, not her not being serious, like she was never going to do
it,
but she's still bringing up her guns while yelling at somebody. Like that's just, there's no way to back it. There's no way.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace! To nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Exactly. Like, why'd you even go there? Like, oh, because Kenya wasn't anywhere near her anymore. Kenya was getting in another car. She was gone. So it wasn't like there was an immediate threat where like Britt felt like she needed to keep responding. Kenya was over it. She was gone.
She was on her phone getting in the car 50 feet away.
So that's why I was like, why is she like amping up still and taking it to this place and making sure to say it towards Kenya?
Yeah, she, I mean, and I think it's as Kenya said, she's looking for a moment at all times with Kenya. She's looking for the moment. And like, it also sounds like Kenya was almost the only one who heard it. Cause like, she gets in that car and we hear sort of the hot
Yes.
mic. She's still wearing her mic and she's talking to Portia and them as they drive away. And she's like, she's out here talking about guns. And Portia's like, wait, what? Like, I didn't. It sounds like Kenya is pretty much the only one who, I mean, Kelly must have heard it too, cause she was standing right there. But,
Right? And Angela.
yeah, and Angela, but like Kelly goes on Watch What Happens Live after the episode. They don't talk about the gun comment.
I
It's
know.
like, So it's like they left it in, but they're not going to talk about it. It's like a little, it's just,
That's what I'm saying. That's why I thought it was so weird to make that the end of the episode to leave us for a full week to talk about and speculate. You know, when you do that, you know it's going to be a fucking week of crazy comments
Yeah,
and
it's gonna spiral.
conspiracies.
Yeah.
And then we're going to watch the next episode and maybe that like explains it better or something.
Yeah, and the only thing that Andy really said on Watch What Happens Live was like, you know, you saw one side of Kenya, you're gonna see another side of her next week. You know, and it's like, okay, but what about the side of Brit that we saw this week?
That, but what about that part?
Right.
Which we feel like if Kenya was telling production, that makes me feel uncomfortable. That's very scary. That is a valid
Absolutely.
fear. And so
Absolutely.
for production not to have taken it, like this is going to be on like, how did you guys handle it from here? Because we don't do this type of stuff on Atlanta Housewives. Like we don't threaten guns and things like that. We know the line. So how do they handle it from here?
I
And I
know.
don't like that Andy said that you'll see a different side of Kenya. I'm like, but yeah, it's a response, albeit
Yeah.
bad, but a response to this that why are we not talking
That we're
about it?
not talking about at all, right? But we still left in the episode. And then so Kenya did tweet after the episode. She said, being the longest standing Real Housewives of Atlanta member threatened with whips and pistols by a newcomer 3 weeks into filming. See this obsession play out is scary. I wanted protection assurances that the threats would be taken seriously. I may be strong, but I'm not bulletproof, which is
Oh.
obviously an intentional word choice. Yeah, that it gets back to that. Again, it's like this woman's out here bringing up her guns again and what was done about it, you know?
Yeah, that because that's where we're. I'm like, I would think that's one of those immediate, almost an HR gets pinged, like, oh, we got mention of pistols on set, and like they get involved, and you know what I mean? That so
Yeah.
it's if it's gonna be like, oh, Kenya, it's fine, she didn't mean it, and not enough follow up, then I think that we're gonna be pretty mad.
Yeah, and that's where it gets back to what we were saying earlier, which is like Kenya probably deserved to be suspended for what she did
Yes.
next week. But what about why wasn't Britt suspended for what she said? You
That's the
know?
part we're missing. Because it's like, I would
Yes.
have got it if both of them had been taken out of the season, because then we would have, but like, you made a choice, just Kenya.
And Britt lied about it on her
Yeah,
story at the
blatantly.
time. Unless she said that she had pistols and she actually doesn't own the guns, then I guess she technically wasn't lying, but she didn't.
Oh.
But then she still did threaten her. So I guess she is still
Yeah.
lying. Oh, God.
Because she also lied about it's she said I was hazed and tormented or hazed and something. And I'm like, but you really weren't at
It's like,
all.
if we're going to categorize that as hazing, that was very light hazing. That is pretty much par for the course up until this moment right now. Like what
Yeah.
Kenya, how Kenya was treating Britt is no different from anything we've seen. It's honestly like not even bad at all. Like we've seen way worse treatment of newbies at this point in seasons.
Exactly. And I know that's like not necessarily a good quality or
No,
like
but
a good
it's.
barometer, but it's just, it was nothing. The ring comment was her. I really feel like she was just clarifying what Britt meant. She wasn't trying to be all shady. And then it's like Britt wanted Kenya to have an issue with her so that she could be like, Kenya's crazy.
Right. She was goading her. It didn't have to go here. It's so frustrating. And it was like, I guess I was expecting the lead up to be something more.
Yes.
Again,
Like a non-event.
not that anything would excuse
Yeah, exactly.
bringing it up, but like she got called a peasant.
Yeah,
That's what
exactly.
it was. She got a pat on the shoulder and she got called a peasant, and then she brought up her pistols, the three P's. I'm like, yeah.
And it's scary because Kenya wasn't engaging her. It's not like Kenya
Yes.
was in a word battle with her. Kenya said, I'm
Totally.
not
Good
doing
point.
this with you.
Good
I'm
point.
walking away from you, and didn't even escalate the situation the way she can, because Kenya can go.
Well, it's almost like when we hear that hot mic moment of her in the car, she says something along the lines of like, I wish she had done something to me because I don't I, like she's bad news. I want her gone, basically. And so that's probably where the wheels start turning from on Kenya's side of like, okay, I have this salon event coming up. What am I going to do? She's not going to be there because I'm obviously not going to invite her. This is obviously where the wheels start spinning. And then I guess these photos apparently were like out somewhere on the internet. She was probably sent them or something like that by somebody. But like, because like, how else do you find something like that? And Kenya keeps teasing, like, I'm going to share my side of the story. I'm going to share my side of the story. And it.
Did you tune into her live? Did you turn it when Kenya went live after it was announced that she like wasn't
When
gonna
she was
be?
like walking around the salon.
And then she was like, I'm only gonna tell what happened when if we hit like 100,000 or
Yes. And she didn't get
500,000.
close to there. I was like, Kenya, just tell us.
It was painful. It was like, yes, the salon looks great, girl, but like, come
Right.
on.
Yeah. I think part of the hard part is like, we've gotten these like weird clues that maybe she's on good terms with Bravo and Andy still, you know, like, but then,
Yes,
and they're, mo I
that.
guess they're mostly from her side, but then, you know what I mean? Because like she said, like, you know, Andy and I text, like, I'm still employed, I still have the contract. But then on the Bravo Andy side, it's been pretty much silence about it, which is like they clearly want the show to be like doing the talking, you know?
Didn't even realize that, but you're right. I was like, good point. There has been all this good love between them. And you're like, it's mainly been from Kenya's
It
side.
really has been.
And
I
I'm
don't even
like,
mean that in a shady way. Like, I
my
feel, I,
God.
and so it's hard to tell.
No,
Like,
but that's so true, though. It has been. It's mainly from
and then you
Kenya's
see
side.
Andy on Watch What Happens Live, like, basically not even acknowledge that.
Exactly.
He
And him
did
being like,
mention
you'll
her by
see a whole
name,
other
but
side.
like,
Ooh,
so
wow.
I'm really, the more as we go on, the more I'm like, all right, her telling her story is not going to be on Bravo. You know what I mean? It's going to be somewhere else, it sounds like.
Right?
And yeah.
Do you think that Kenya would be done? Like, do you think that they couldn't fire her until the season was over? And I feel, and like, this will be the end?
It definitely felt like, again, they kind of wanted the show to play out. They wanted people to, I think they wanted that to happen.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I do think that Bravo does react to how viewers react to things. And as we were saying at the beginning, not that they let the audience make decisions, but they definitely take that into consideration when they make big decisions, especially ones like this. And, you know, as you've said, we said at the beginning, like 95%, 99% of the reaction has been, what the fuck? And maybe that flips after next week's episode. Who knows? But it's hard to imagine that. It's hard to imagine it completely flipping into Britt's favor. I mean,
Right?
Kenya, the audience is behind Kenya. She's an icon that we've invested a decade in. And
And it wasn't, and didn't Britt, if I swear I saw her on her stories post something about revenge porn, like
yeah.
whether it was like, right? And
I'm not sure this is the definition of a revenge porn from what we've heard.
agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Agreed. So I don't, I feel like Britt was also really egging it on and trying to make Kenya this really bad person. And it's, look, Kenya's done a lot of crazy stuff. So it's kind of like, well, Kenya can go a little too far sometimes.
Totally.
But she's really leaving out her side of it. And so now that we're seeing it play out, I'm like, okay, look, fine, punish Kenya, but why is Britt talking like she's off the hook?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, and maybe Bravo, I don't know, let sort of the carriage get before the horse in terms of like,
Oh.
if you're going to make a huge decision like this, which is suspending somebody for doing this one thing, the way that we see it as viewers, it has to merit that from what, like, it's been built up at this point. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
both by Brit, by just sort of the speculation, and by Kenya even. But like, now we're going to see it. And I don't know. I don't know. Again,
Ooh.
I'm reserving a space in my head to. I don't think Britt will be vindicated, but maybe. Again, I need to see the moment play out. I guess that's what I'm. At the end of the day, that's sort of how I feel.
Your conflict is exactly how a lot of us should feel, but it's not gonna be the case for so many. They're just gonna make their decision. And like,
Exactly.
that's
They
why
already
I'm so
have.
surprised. I'm so surprised by how they've shown it to us. Like, I kind of think it would have been the most responsible thing to do is show the threat and then give us the salon, like put it all in like one episode so that we're not speculating for a whole week.
Yeah, but I guess if we've been speculating for 8 months,
I
what's another week,
And they're just,
right?
so they're milking it. I think that's what's kind of weird. I'm like, oh, you're gonna milk it too? Like, this is a pretty serious situation, guys. Like, one of our main cast members is gone. No confessionals. That's what's crazy too. I didn't even notice it until Kendrick, Kendrick, he pointed it out.
Yeah, of course, love Kendrick.
No confessionals. I'm like,
we're getting no confessionals from Kenya, but we're getting solo confessionals from Ralph, please.
Right. With his no shirt under his blazer.
And it's one of those things where it's like, you're watching the episode, right? You're watching the Kelly and Kenya scene, or you're even watching Kenya walk in the blue outfit instead of wearing a black outfit. And like at a moment like that, you are 100% conditioned to expect a Kenya Moore confessional being like, LOL, I read the invitation. I didn't give a fuck. Or like, responding to Kelly's story at the salon. We're not getting that. And that it's this weird experience, because again, I'm really loving this season of Real Housewives of Atlanta, but we have the Kenya cloud. And then sort of adjacent to that is like this kind of weird thing where in any other situation, we would have gotten the woman's confessional commentary, and it's just not there. It's weird.
It's weird. Very weird. She's not able to narrate her side of it at all. And I think that's such a statement, not giving her confessionals. Like, I'm sure their lawyers have been the ones to look at all of it. And this is like the most legally like appropriate way to handle it, because we're making emotional decisions, but I'm sure the legal team was like, well, no, technically by this law, it's this thing and da 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 da. And so.
You're right. It's above our pay grade. And at the end of the day, like, this show rolls up into a company, which rolls up into so many things. And you're right. It's that kind of decision that they made. But it's a tough pill to swallow. And the other thing that I want to say about Brit that I think is really interesting, and I'm have my eye on it, it's sort of like her dynamic with her husband is really. So we have this conversation with her sister where she's saying like, I don't have very many friends. My sisters are my friends. And that's why it's so hard. We're not speaking right now. And the sister's like, well, why is your husband always in the conversations that we are having? Like, I just want to talk to you, like between you and I. During this conversation, the husband blowing up Brit being like, come home. And it's like, your wife's at dinner with her sister, like hashing out a deep fissure in their relationship. Like, let her live. And then he's there to pick her up from dinner. Like, it's just, there's something a little bit, I have my eye on that relationship. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I clocked it too. It's like when she goes, but that's my husband. And her sister's like, that's my husband. I'm like, oh, so this is beyond just your typical, I'm now married and I have a husband. Why is he always next to her when they have to have a conversation? Why? Like, that doesn't sound right. And then the blowing up her phone at the end, she's like, okay, but I got to go because he's calling. I'm like, how long have you been? Maybe the sister made her wait for a while. I don't know. Maybe she was like super late or something. I'll give him that. But I get a vibe from them too. I don't love it.
It's a weird codependency, and not. It doesn't seem very healthy in terms of that codependency.
Yes.
You know, and
yes,
yeah. I don't know. I think that somehow plays into her dynamic with other women. And
100%.
I'm curious to explore that more. Anything else from Atlanta that really piqued your interest this week? Obviously that was the dominating kind of headline, before we get into like some Summer House, Southern Charm stuff.
Drew is filming with Dennis.
Filming with Dennis.
I was like, oh shit. Like, you're really doing in the recording studio with Dennis. Like, so.
And listen, if I'm Portia, I'd be annoyed at that. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. I would be like,
like
as
what
Cynthia
are you doing?
Said, baby daddy sit different.
Maybe daddy's hit. Oh, Cynthia Bailey has been giving me all the things
she's
I need.
Great confessional
she's just perfect. Like when she said, when Kenya said, you're coming off like a whore. And then they cut to Cynthia going, ooh, a hoe is one thing, but a whore.
Oh. That's terrible. No, that was so good. The Drew and Dennis of it all. Even honestly, Drew and Ralph filming together when like 2 weeks ago, wasn't she saying that like they only correspond via the app for their
good
divorce?
Point.
And they are only arguing in there. But then now all of a sudden they're filming a scene with their sons on their front lawn playing football. I'm like, there's something amiss. There's something amiss.
And that felt very staged. That felt like they were like, she was making sure to get certain things on camera, you know,
isn't that always the case with Drew?
I know, yeah. Drew is so known for this. Like, is so delusional.
I have such a hard time because I just don't feel like it's ever the straight story. I feel like it's never the There's always like a. Ever. I saw somebody say that, like, you know, somebody was like, why are they filming together? And somebody was like, well, they'll do anything to stay on the show, which I believe. But I've said this multiple times. I just always kind of thought that, like, once the divorce had actually been, that journey had been started, that, like, maybe that would unlock something in Drew, you know, and, like, sort of free her up more. But it doesn't feel like it's done that.
Agreed. No, it's like she wanted to film that scene so she could say, but we're getting along. We're not fighting. We're good. I just want you to be happy. I'm like, what is, you just got through with your lawyer and how he's not submitting financials.
It's not adding up.
Yeah. That's so Drew, right?
Yeah. And also, like, also you're right. We had the whole lawyer conversation last week and we didn't even really talk about any of those things when you're filming with him. Like, what?
Right?
I don't know. There's something fishy in my mind.
And I do think that Ralph has been like scamming Drew. That's why he's not turning over financials.
Yeah, he's probably taking your
like,
money.
It's 100%. So it's going to be this, like, they're both kind of scammers, but in their own different ways. And they've sort of been like scamming each other and Drew's like scamming us. And like, just Drew is such a little, like, she's so not transparent.
No, not at all. No. And again, like, again, I thought you were just corresponding in this app and he was living in your basement and whatever. And now he's like doing yes. tours of his lower level apartment. That he's like, I'm like, I don't need, it's too much Ralph. Already too much Ralph. I'm good.
Already, I know. Get rid. I'm done with Ralph. Yeah, we don't need you, buddy.
Yeah, the show's good enough without him. Exactly.
Yeah.
Emily, I want to switch to Southern Charm, Summer House vibes. So I talked a lot about like the finale and reunion last week on my show, but I had not seen Craig and Austin and Chef on Watch What Happens Live yet at that point, which was quite an interesting episode of Watch What Happens Live, I have to say.
Right.
I don't even know where to start. I guess before we get into the page of it all, his comments about Vanita were very strong because it's right? funny because on the one hand, Craig is like, you know, I haven't done anything. I haven't really said anything, you know, and then he's asked for his reaction to Vanita saying that she's team Paige in the breakup. And he's like, I won't be associated with her. You know, my circle's getting tighter as I get older and she's just regurgitating gossip for the internet. I wish her well, but she's not entitled to my friendship. Those are some harsh words.
I was very surprised by that too. And Vanita was shocked by it as well. I don't think I even thought that they were close enough for him to take such a strong stance against right. her.
And what's interesting is that, like, I agree that Craig hasn't said that much. He has said some stuff, and I think a lot of it's kind of dog whistle-y. You know what I mean? It's a little bit like, I'm not saying anything, but I'm sort of, but read between the lines for what I'm saying. And that's how he sort of gets away, I think, with more of it.
Totally.
But I think he's also, some of his cast members are doing some of the dirty work for him, or doing some of the heavy lifting in terms of what they're saying. I mean, it was Shep on the after show. It was Austin initially on Watch What Happens Live earlier in the season with Pat. They're doing mm-hmm. some of that work for him. And I think in some ways, he probably expected everybody on his show to do that. Everybody to sort of fall in line. You know what I mean? And Vanita and Leva didn't really do that.
And it's funny now that I think about it, because he's so resentful at her cast for being so, what did exactly. he call them? Just horrible. And, or what did he say?
He said he said it was disgusting how they were disgusting. Talking about it.
And he encourages America.
He encourages America not to act that way, which I died.
Sure.
That was honestly hilarious.
He meant it. He like, wasn't even kidding. Like,
no, he wasn't, but I laughed.
Andy had to be like, America, and he's like, okay, maybe that's funny. I'm like, but no, you meant it. Like, you thought you were sending a message to America about not being Kyle and Sierra.
Right. Right, exactly.
Like, what are you talking about, sir?
And it's like, I think the dynamic of the two casts sort of dueling overall is kind of like fascinating. We never really had this before, right? Like, it's
right.
I kind of like it. It's enjoyable.
It's a good point, because like, when have we ever seen like a couple split between two shows like this, and now they're in a breakup, and now it's like, oh, it's war. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, we will support Paige in this. And what's also funny is, so Craig admits that he's not watching Summer House, and I get it. I kind of understand, like, it's sort of, that'd be a rough thing to watch, but Andy was asking him questions about things that we were seeing on this season of Summer House when they were still together. And he's like, look, Paige is just talking about, they redid some stuff, he says at one point. And I'm like, what are you trying to say? They refilmed scenes like after the fact? No, this is in scene, buddy, in scene. And you got Sierra in scene in real time going, I'm not going to tell you again. Mm-hmm. Meaning she's been harping on this for a minute with Craig
behind that laptop.
Mm-hmm. Behind, and I know that was so. I'm like, oh, she has it up it. Like that. Uh-huh. And then Paige goes, I know. And you're like,
yeah,
oh.
I know. And it's like, yeah, it's frustrating because he's not watching it, but he's still saying that they're sort of rewriting history. And it's like, well, as Andy pointed out to him, he was like, no, Craig, like you can literally watch the show and sort of see Paige like processing these emotions and feelings in real time, which really, you know, bolsters them. It makes them more valid because like, it's not like overnight, she would just like, fuck this dude. Like I'm, you know, time's really? Up on that. Like, no, like I actually think she took her time in really processing this and like figuring it out. And I think that he would understand because I believe that Craig was supportive to her in the way that he like was able to be supportive to her, I guess, but like, it wasn't the way that she wanted to be supported clearly. And like, he said on Watch What Happens Live, he was like, well, I was her number one supporter. I don't know what she's talking about.
And he's like, she doesn't think that.
Right. But it's like, no, but she fully thought that. She didn't want to feel that way. She didn't want to feel that way.
Like, you know? She said it out of her own mouth. And he just was arguing with Andy like, oh, she's just, Andy tried. I feel like Andy was trying to be like, no, stop with the post breakup stuff. Like just talking about what led to the breakup, because your big thing is that you were blindsided and had no idea. And here's some clues from Paige herself as to why maybe this happened. But Craig does not hear what he doesn't want to hear.
Mm.
You see that when when they're doing the bees on Southern Charm. She's straight up telling him, I'm never going to want a slow life. And he's like, so we're on the same page. Meanwhile, he's also saying, I want to live on a farm. Like he doesn't hear her. And then he says the thing you're supposed to say, like, yeah, no, we're totally on the same page. She even says at one point in that scene, say that we're on the same page, say it, because she could feel like this is going to be captured. And I'm now going to be like, penned as the one who's not committing or whatever, but like, you tell me we're on the same page and you don't want any of those things. Cause it sounds like she would hear him and say things like, do you want to break up? Because I don't want that right now. And it sounds like you do. And he'd be like, no, we're fine. We're fine. We're good. But then when they go to the dinner on Summer House and he's like, I just want to make sure our relationship's a priority. And she's like, but you bringing this up makes me feel like you don't think that. Therefore, mm-hmm. And he's like, no, we're fine. We're good. Like he wouldn't fully lean into what he wanted. And then he just kind of kept thinking he could hear what he wanted to hear and dismiss the rest.
It's really interesting. And then on Watch What Happens Live, he's like, well, I was the delusional one. I thought it was all fine. And like, and he said, he also said in the reunion, like, I would have stayed. And it's like, he really can't see it. You're right. Like he, and it's not, it doesn't feel like it's like a, it's not like a conniving thing. It's not like it's like a very genuine thing in his mind. Like this is like, and it's hard as a viewer, I think, to wrap your mind around that because obviously it's hindsight and we're seeing it play out and it's very obvious on Summer House. But like, it's very clear in his mind that he genuinely believes there was nothing wrong in their relationship, which is like, I mean, he called himself delusional, you know, and it's a little bit, he had his tunnel vision and he wasn't going to stray from that.
That's the part he did the exact same thing with Naomi. Mm. And he like, we were watching them fight that whole season. They were together. It was like ugly fighting. And she would say, I don't want to be sleeping until 3 PM. I want you to clean your house. And they were fighting about it. Then they were broken up by that reunion. And his version was, we were perfect. We were so happy. And she just doesn't want to be in love with me anymore. Even though she is in love with me, we had no problems. And Andy and like the rest of the cast is like, no, Craig, you guys were fighting a lot. You called her a child. Like, remember? And he's like, yeah, okay. But still, and he just wouldn't, he doesn't, it's, I don't know. It would be very difficult to be in a relationship with someone like that long-term because you're like, eventually you do have to hear what's really happening.
Right. And that's where it sort of is different. Cause I have seen some similarities between Lindsay and Carl and Craig and Paige in terms of like both Lindsay and Craig saw, actually, I mean, I thought that both Lindsay and Craig saw issues and like didn't want to end the relationship over it, but they kind of thought they could just get through them. But the way that you're talking about it makes me realize that the difference is that like Lindsay acknowledged that her and Carl were having issues and just wanted to work through them and still kind of go through with the wedding and just, again, figure it out. They weren't relationship ending things to her at the time. As you said, Craig's just not even seeing the issues as issues. And that's sort of where the difference lies probably, right?
That's, I didn't even think of comparing it like that, but that's exactly that, where like Craig is still and will forever be confused, even though we are like, we're watching, it is on camera. You, like, he even said when they're on the rafts on the thing, and mm-hmm. and he's like, why do you think that I'm not supportive and don't want you to be a success? I do want that. I'm like, see, you're saying it yourself. You're saying, why do you feel I'm not supportive? So therefore, something you're doing is not supportive.
And then we find out 20 minutes later that you said off camera that I don't want to say on camera that you're, that you have more going on than I do.
Uh-uh.
And so it's like, yeah, that was one of the tougher comments that we've heard, I think,
right?
In this whole thing.
That was very telling.
What do you make, Emily, of when people say that Paige should have broken up with him earlier, she led him on, she never wanted to marry him. What's your sort of take or response to that? Because that's sort of, I think, what the one of sort of the mission statements of people who are really behind Craig. That's, I think, a big argument. What's your response to that?
I love that question. Thank you, Gibson. I don't think that Paige was leading him on in that when she got with him, she was like talking about marriage and kids and whatnot and never meant it. I think that Craig didn't really give her a very safe space to feel like that was something that would be safe or good to do even. And so, you know, like, to me, I think that she's admitted herself that best sex she's ever had is with Craig.
Right.
And listen, as someone who's had the best sex I've ever had, you never marry the best sex you've ever had. Like the best sex you ever had should be in prison a lot of the time, because they're usually nuts. And they bring the crazy to the bedroom, and that's what makes it so good. And so it's intoxicating, though. So when you've got like the best sex you ever had, yeah, when you're laying in bed, you just want to have this for the rest of your life and just be, yeah, get married and do all that stuff. And don't forget too, in the beginning, Craig was like not fully committed. Remember the whole Kristen Cavallari thing?
Yes.
And so
a
lot of that, when you finally get that commitment, I could see it being like, yes, fantasy, let's get married and have the kids. He's only been not drinking and aware of how volatile he was as a drinker for a year at the time that we're seeing this. So that means for 2 years, she had to put up with crazy Craig, which is a lot. And so Paige was, I think, hoping that he would stop with all of the crazy Craig stuff, but she didn't also want to I thought she handled him very well, but I have a horrible track record in relationships. So when I think something's working, it's probably because it's toxic. And so I was like, oh my God, Paige is the Craig whisperer. She knows how to get, cause like that Winter House season, you know, she got him to realize, God, like, oh, I got to calm down. I'm like, they're perfect. But that's awful for Paige. That Paige, her version of this relationship is that she's just good at shutting up and like hoping that Craig gets to the point where he realizes he's scaring her and he's making her cry. No. So I think she was trying her hardest to get it to a place where she felt like she could feel comfortable getting married and settling down. But then her career did take off, and it honestly should be the best thing for Craig. If he's going to be her partner, it should be like, fuck yeah, make some money, get your fame, get your future together. But instead, he knew she was becoming a star and was getting worried. Like, wait a minute, come back. Hold on, wait, come back. Remember being in bed together? And that's, I think, why he stopped drinking and finally took it seriously. I think it's because he could tell, wow, Paige is becoming like a hot commodity. What am I offering her?
Let me
here?
Follow suit. Let me try. Yeah.
And remember when he said that weird line when she was opening up about how he quit drinking? And then she said, and don't forget, I'll pack up these kids and I could be gone tomorrow or whatever. And he goes, yeah, because you make your own money.
Yeah.
I thought that was such a weird thing to say. And so I was like, I think it's been in his head, like, fuck, Paige isn't needy of me at all anymore. You know, I'm talking a lot.
No, I know. I think you're totally accurate in all of that. I think that there was like a simmering resentment in Craig for Paige's success that I don't think that he ever would have labeled as such. You know what I mean? I think that this is what we're seeing her realize in real time in Summer House, that she is dating, in Sierra and her words, a hater, you know? And that's a hard thing to realize. I'm curious how the season ends, honestly, because I don't know where it lands in terms of the end of the summer. Cause just like to fill in the timeline a little bit for us. But then right after filming, she goes into this tour. And I don't think that that would have been, in some ways, it would have been like a fair thing to break up with him before the tour, probably. But I don't think that she was in the headspace or like just place in life to be like, all right, let me end this 3-year relationship and then go travel for 2.5 months, going to 30 different cities. You know, like that just, it just, that would have been a lot for anybody.
She had the panic attack on the first tour, but I love when she talked about that in the after show about how him being around and like stressing her out and probably getting drunk and like fighting with somebody and causing a scene and doing all that kind of stuff. Can you imagine this? Like, you're already having to go out and be on stage.
Yeah,
and then
it's a whole other factor. As she said, like, I told him he could come to any city that I was going to. And he still didn't really do that. Just like he only came to Summer House one time this season, you know, and I think that was more of a Kyle thing.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store certified packing experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit the upsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
The last thing I want to ask you about is, now we know that Craig is dating somebody new.
I know. Natalie Buffett?
Natalie Buffett, who apparently used to date a professional athlete whose name is escaping me, who I'd never heard of because I don't follow sports.
Jack Flaherty was on the Dodgers, and that's who Jack Flaherty is now not on the Dodgers anymore. I think he's back on... the Tigers, but he's so hot. And I keep posting because I keep it sharing Dodgers stuff because I'm a big Dodgers fan in my stories. And someone was like, that, because it was Jack Flaherty. He is so fine. There, someone said that's who Craig's new girlfriend used to date.
But is it spelled D-A? It's spelled like something weird, right?
Okay, so it may be someone else, because I think someone even said there was a Denver Broncos person.
Oh, okay, so maybe she has dated multiple for athletes.
Yeah, because there's a whole photo of her and that Jack Flaherty guy.
Okay,
and he's
it.
A baseball player, so I think that she's just known for dating sports people.
And it's funny because right when so Craig confirms he's dating one person and Watch What Happens Live. A couple hours later, people figure out who it is.
How did people figure out who? I mean, I am so impressed by that.
Well, because somebody submitted to Dumois by the next morning.
Got it.
And
got it.
Some people, I've seen some people posit that was an intentional
leak.
Lied to. And maybe not from Craig's side, honestly, maybe from her. Like somebody close, the timing of that is very like... Unless somebody was sort of sitting on the information and like waiting for Craig to confirm who was whatever. But
somebody in the
know put that out there, right? And
then
Dumois confirms it pretty quickly. And it's funny because you go to her Instagram and it's just like pictures from all over the world. It's like, where does this woman live? And I'm like, well, wasn't this a whole thing with Paige where it was like she lives not in Charleston? So I don't know, maybe she's down to move to Charleston and
that's what I was wondering too.
Some honey. Yeah.
That's exactly what I was wondering too. It's like I was imagining some local to Charleston, honestly.
Yeah, me too. That's what I expected too.
I guess I just was expecting him to learn his lesson and stay local. Yeah. But if he gets with if this is another relationship that doesn't pan out for similar reasons, I mean, we're going to need to come on, Craig.
And ultimately, like, I'm glad that he's moving on because I think that that will help everybody else move on, you know, and it will take some of the like air out of the room, you know, it will just sort of alleviate some of that like tension that's built up. It's like, he's no longer like the poor lonely guy who was dumped. Like now he's like sort of into this happier chapter and that's great for everybody. Again, it's the same with Lindsay and Carl. It's like now that Lindsay like found this guy and she's has a baby, it's like that makes... Right, that she's happy and has found somebody new, that makes it better for everybody.
It is like a sigh of relief. I felt relief when he said he was seeing someone. I'm like, oh God.
Me too.
Oh, thank God. It's such a true feeling. It's like, okay, now he's okay.
She didn't ruin his life.
Exactly. Like he's going to move on.
Yeah.
But you know, he's not taking one lesson. I can say that. He wants to say he is, but I'm like, what is it? What's your lesson? Because anytime anyone tries to inform you, because you're not paying attention yourself of what possibly led to it, you're like, nope, that's not it. So
Well, Emily, thanks so much for doing this. I'm so happy to have you on. This is a
I'm
great
so happy. Now
chat.
I'm going to have you on mine
Anytime you need,
Okay, good. Yay,
I'm
yay,
here.
yay.
How often do you release new episodes of your podcast? Do your plugs before we sign off?
Oh, okay. The plug. I am releasing about two episodes a week. I do a weekly wrap up on Sunday. I do it live with Kendrick, who's been on your show a couple times. And that's just the weekly wrap up. What happened that week? Or we're also recapping White Lotus and Orange County, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Hello, over there as well. And I'm doing Beverly Hills. As soon as the Valley starts up, baby, I
Oh, here we
cannot
go.
wait. Oh my God, I'm so excited for this
Wait,
season.
for that premiere. You haven't seen the premiere yet, have you?
No, have you?
I have seen the premiere.
Is it amazing?
It's messy, it's really good, and there's a familiar
Oh,
face in it, so we'll
I'm
see.
so excited. I'm so excited. Okay, but
Yeah.
yeah, so she it's a I'm available anywhere. I'm available on YouTube. She's Speaking with Emily Hanks and podcasts anywhere you listen. I also have a Patreon where I'm covering Summer House and Southern Charm. I think that's
Love
it.
it. That's amazing. Well, Emily, a pleasure. Well, now we'll just
Pleasure.
do this all the time. So,
Right?
thanks again for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a five-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.